plate a potential nugget.
I find it helpful to understand people's early years. If I were to ask you, could you talk a little bit about your maybe the first 15, 20 years? Specifically, you talk about going to an airport school, which I understand was a key part of your growing up. Could you tell us a little bit about how your childhood shaped who you are as a person today?
Yeah, I think the first and foremost is, of course, winning the ovarian lottery, right? Being born in the right house. So very, very lucky to have been born in a middle-class family. A dad who is extremely, you know, the classic tinkering kind of a person who spends a lot of his time tinkering with devices, etc. He's a mechanical engineer. And so while the country is building Atal tinkering labs, etc., our home was an Atal tinkering lab throughout my childhood. So I had a huge opportunity to learn a lot because of that. A mother who was extremely, extremely caring and loving. And so, you know, sometimes people like me don't even understand a lot of the mental health issues other people face, simply because we've never faced, or I have at least never faced, any trauma incidents in my childhood. And, you know, I think I can only be deeply grateful to my parents for that. But I also recognize that that's a very, very rare case of being extremely lucky to have had that. Plus, you know, being born the last of three siblings. So, you know, all the benefits of pampering, all the benefits of learning from the mistakes of the elder two siblings. So fabulous childhood. We traveled only within Bombay. We didn't go out of Bombay. My dad shifted jobs within the city. But, you know, had an opportunity to go to four or five different schools through my childhood. But the good thing about it was all these schools, barring one, were schools that were focused on all socioeconomic strata. So the first school we went to was run by Godrej for all its employees. So you went there whether you were a worker's child or you were a manager's child or a, you know, vice president's child. And therefore, you know, we always had a mixture of children of different socioeconomic strata there. And pretty much the later schools as well, especially Airport High School, which was a key formative years from the age of 10 to about 17, 18, when I finished my 10th standard. I spent in that school where I got a lot of opportunity to see how much impact, you know, where you're born has on your life. So I had friends who lived in slums, had friends who had, you know, 2 and 3 BHK flats in Bombay, which is like you have to be really rich to have that. And so that was definitely one of the most important shaping factors. Mm. But yeah, I would summarize the childhood as extremely lucky. Fabulous, fabulous childhood. Had a lot of fun, played a lot, read a lot, you know, got to learn a lot. And so I think built a really solid base. Sometimes when I look back and I look at what kind of base I got, I actually think I've hugely underachieved to the potential that the base created for people like me.
Actually, that begs a philosophical question on what achieving the potential means, right? I think that's a discussion maybe we can have. Yes. But maybe if I could keep that in the parking lot for now. I'm curious about your early choices, Venkat. BCom versus BSc, and then you went to IMA subsequently. Could you tell us a little bit about how you thought about early choices?
Early in around 9th standard or something, I had a cousin, elder cousin, who used to work with a stockbroker, and I got good exposure to the financial markets at a very early age. I was also always very good with numbers, and so I was quite excited about, you know, finance as a profession, stuff like that. And so there was a back of the mind thought that maybe I want to become a chartered accountant. So I was pretty much thinking that I would love to go ahead and study commerce when I was in school. Unfortunately, I did extremely well in my 10th standard board exams.
Wow.
And so,
so much.
Merit list and all of that kind of stuff happened, and kind of got pushed into science, you know, parental, social pressure, all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, in hindsight, now I have absolutely no regrets about that. I think it was a great choice to go into science. I keep telling a lot of young people that I meet these days that if you have really got a choice, either go into the pure sciences or go into the pure liberal arts. You know, commerce, engineering, these are all applied professions. You don't actually build knowledge, you use knowledge. Mm-hmm. MBA as well, MBA is the worst of all of them, right? Mm-hmm. You just use knowledge rather than building knowledge. I think building knowledge adds a lot more value to society than applying knowledge does. Not to discount the value of applying knowledge. I think it's far easier to apply knowledge than to create it. It's far easier to vaccinate a billion people than to invent the vaccine.
Interesting. In terms of moving the society forward.
Correct.
Understood. Okay.
So that's how I decided to get into science. God decided for me to get into science. But then I became very clear as I started studying that I love mathematics, of course, as a subject. And I was very clear that that's what I wanted to study. And so 12th again, unfortunately, I did very well, even though I didn't even study. I flunked all my prelims. I got single digit marks out of 100 in all our prelim subjects, which scared me enough to study for like a month before the board exams so that I shouldn't fail or I should at least get a first class. Again, unfortunately, merit list, did very well, all of that stuff. But I think by this time I had matured a lot, grown a lot, and I was able to stand my ground much, much more firmly this time around.
Why do you say unfortunately? I'm curious about why you say that.
So I think in those times, we're now talking of 1988, which is about 32 years ago, it wasn't too easy to oppose social pressure, right? And, you know, in those days, if you're not becoming a doctor or an engineer, you were a waste in life, right? Mm-hmm. So 12th especially was the time where I don't remember with one or two friends as an exception. A friend who introduced me to a lot of amazing literature, for example. There was nobody else in the ecosystem who supported my choice to go ahead and study science and not going for engineering.
Mm.
It was very difficult. So family, relatives, everybody pushing for me to go and do engineering. And, I'm quite proud of myself. In fact, if you ask me now, that at that age, I had that courage to stand by my conviction and tell people, you do what you want to, I'm not going to study engineering.
Mm.
Not because I didn't like it. Like I said, I grew up in a tinkering lab family. And so I was pretty good at all of that stuff. And even today, pretty much, any device gets broken and all of that stuff, I'm very comfortable opening things up, repairing them myself, stuff like that. If I want to, but I was clear that that's not what I wanted to do with my life. By that time, my thoughts were already getting shaped around what I wanted to do with my life. And that was a lot about, how do you reduce inequality in society? Very, very early in life. So I read Communist Manifesto, thanks to that one friend of mine, Jatin Wagle, who introduced me to a lot of that stuff. And I'm very strongly of the view that the inequality in society, which I also experienced in school myself, is something we need to do something about. And I was very clear that that's something I want to work on in my life at some point of time.
Mm.
So, engineering didn't seem to be the right way to go at that stage.
Mm.
So I chose to sign up for a BSc in mathematics. And then in the second year of my undergrad, we had a phenomenally good stats professor, Professor Sate, who actually introduced me to a bunch of very, very interesting books on statistics, foreign author textbooks, and just reading them, Theory of Epidemics by somebody called N.T.J. Bailey, and another one called Sampling Techniques by William Cochran. Two fabulous books that just opened my eyes up to what the potential of working with numbers has in terms of impacting society, kind of, so to say.
Hmm.
So I decided to switch to stats at the end of my second year. So I graduated in statistics. I also hedged, having taken that risk of not going for engineering. So along with my BSc, I also studied and finished the cost accounting exams. Yeah.
Got it. And the decision to write CAT
CAT was insurance, right? CAT was basically insurance. And so that's again a decision that, so I got through all the IIMs, but I of course went overboard. So one of my biggest strengths, if you ask me, in life is contingency planning, right? So I always plan for the worst. I may or may not hope for the best, but I do plan for the worst. So So I not only wrote CAT, I also wrote the CWT, which is the Bombay MBA entrance exams. I wrote the TIS entrance exam, XLRI entrance exam, whole bunch of them, just to be safe. And in those days, of course, the entrance fees were not very high. CAT was $500, something like that. So got through all of them, ISI Calcutta as well, which my professor had egged me to try. And then went to, IIM results came, IIM Ahmedabad got through, went in, didn't hear back from ISI Calcutta by that time. So went and joined IIM Ahmedabad, got started there.
But out of curiosity, Venkat, just going back to a couple of things, right? One is your desire to impact the society and spend time doing that kind of work, coupled with your point about science versus application. Do you consider a course around social work or something on those fronts? Why an MBA in that context, given what you
two reasons. One, like I said, insurance, right? I needed to make sure that I was going to be financially reasonably well off. We were not a very affluent family. We weren't poor, but we weren't very affluent. And so I think one, somewhere the need to earn well enough for myself, but more than for myself, for my family, for my parents, was definitely a consideration that was there in the back of the mind. So that, and second is, I'm not sure I believed then or even now believe that social work is the way to change the world necessarily. I think there are multiple ways to change the world. So social work is never in the consideration set also.
If this is of interest, please see the curated playlist Formative Years, where several leaders speak about their early years and how it shaped them. Thank you for listening.